And now for a preview of the Packers season. Head coach Matt LaFleur spoke with media earlier this week about the roster coming together and preparations for the week one matchup against the New Orleans Saints on Sunday.
We got to do a great job of trying to keep the defense as off balance as possible with our run game and our passing game, and making sure everything marries up together so we're not giving any tips and tells to the defense so they can really, you know, jump and get off on the pass rush.
So did you watch any of the training camp sessions in July and August? How did the team look? Who's your favorite player? What are your expectations for quarterback Aaron Rodgers? It's 800-642-1234. Pete Doherty, he is a Packers columnist for the Green Bay Press Gazette and USA Today Network Wisconsin. Been covering the Packers since 1993. Pete, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Oh, thanks for having me, Kate. How are you today?
I'm doing well. The Packers' 53-player roster is all set. Includes six guys ranked in the NFL's top 100 players for last year, according to the NFL Network poll of players. What does the roster look like to you?
It looks really talented. I'm thinking it's probably their best roster since 2011. That's the year after they won the Super Bowl. Hmm. And they went 15-1 that season, and then lost in the playoffs. But they were just kind of a juggernaut. I think they scored like the third or fourth most points ever in NFL history. And I kind of see a similar team here. The strengths are in a couple of different places than that season, maybe. But six players in that NFL Network top 100. I think ESPN had a list of its own top 100, and they had seven guys on that. So those are star players, and those are the guys who win games. And, that's a lot. 32 teams, that'd be an average of about three per team. So they've got twice that. So they've got a lot of difference makers.
And you say strengths in a couple different places. What are those strengths, and who is bringing them?
You know, the quarterback's the same, and was a great player then, and he's in camp this year. He looked as sharp as ever. He really looked good. They had an outstanding receiving core then. They had, you know, Greg Jennings and Jordy Nelson were both hitting their primes. So they were two outstanding receivers. This receiving core is pretty good, and they have one great player in Devontae Adams, but they have a very good tight end in Robert Tonyan, who's just really come into his own, and they have an outstanding running back in Aaron Jones, who's also really good in the passing game. And this team runs the ball way better than that team did. And that helps the passing game so much, because defenses have to honor the run and all the play fakes that Matt LaFleur was talking about there.
Mm-hmm.
That helps the passing game quite a bit. So this game, this team has, you know, the Aaron Jones is the big difference between the 11 team and this team. And they're not quite as talented at receiver, but they still have plenty of talent, and the trigger man is, playing as well as he ever has.
Yeah, and I want to spend some time there, your honest assessment of Aaron Rodgers and the relationship with the team and management, because over the summer, he arrived at training camp and really spoke candidly about his grievances. And let's hear a little clip of that from July.
I took time working on myself and trying to better myself in a number of areas where I feel like I could improve based on my own patterns and conditioning. And it was a lot of growth in that process. I continued to find joy and happiness and things off the field.
Okay, so what is going on with Rodgers and the team?
Well, you know, it all goes back to when they drafted Jordan Love, and he felt like that was a move 2 years ago. And then he felt like that was a move to push him out the door well before he was ready. And, you know, from his perspective, everything he's done for the franchise, he felt a sense of betrayal, which kind of came out in that press conference. But then the whole off season and his threat, you know, asking for a trade, threatening not to show up, all those things. The team was just protecting its future from its point of view, because the quarterback position is everything. Mm-hmm. In the NFL, and if you get caught without a quarterback, you can't win. It's just, you can't do it. So things looked really bad for all off season, and then push comes to shove. The Packers stood their ground because they had the contractual leverage, because he was under contract. Now they made a compromise with him. You know, they agreed to shave a year off his contract. So now this year and next year is all he had left. And they traded for Randall Cobb, who they would not have traded for had Rodgers not, basically demanded that. And he showed up on time, and that basically, his showing up on time, in my opinion, just diffused everything.
Okay.
I assumed at minimum he was going to show up, you know, a few days a week, maybe a couple of weeks, maybe several weeks after camp started. But he showed up on day one. And if you were out at practice, you know, I think for one thing that it diffused the fan, any fan sentiment, because I think fan sentiment might have been against him as far as who was more in the right or wrong on this.
Mm-hmm.
And because he showed up on time, I think the fans accepted it, because he ran out on the field for that, you know, that first practice, and they were doing drills with the quarterbacks that went on the field, and there was no booing, there were no cat calls, there was, you know, because, you know, 5,000 fans show up for practice every day, or several thousand, and I think that just took all the steam out of any problems. And if you didn't know that all that stuff was going on in the off season,
you went
to that first practice, yeah, you would have had no clue that that there were any problems. And his grievances are with the front office.
And wanting to have a say in personnel decisions. Is that fair? Yeah. Is that legitimate?
You know, look, we all have our own opinion on this. I think it's a really bad idea for even quarterbacks who are really smart and have played a long time to have a big say in personnel. They get attached to their teammates. A big thing in football is roster turnover. You have to turn rosters over. Guys go from being very good players to not very good. It can happen in one off season. It can happen even during a season from beginning to end. It's a brutal game that way. Guys get old fast, and players are often the last to know it. And, you know, he'd be attached to his friends. Nothing wrong with hearing his opinion on things, and he may have an insight that they wouldn't, you know, that Brian Gutekunst wouldn't have thought of, or his scouts. And if it's a close call and Rodgers wants to keep a guy and it's a close call with another guy, then maybe you keep him. But I
sounds like emotion shouldn't be involved in hiring and firing and putting together a roster.
No, you have to be. And Vince, you know, go back to Vince Lombardi. He was a ruthless personnel guy. I mean, he would tell guys that it was time to retire. His last team got old, but before then he was really proactive about getting rid of guys. It's just, that's exactly right. You just, you can't be sentimental when it comes to keeping players. And that's one reason why it's probably good to have the coach and GM jobs as separate, because the GM, you know, ultimately makes those roster decisions.
Well, then what do you think his relationship will be like with Jordan Love, his would-be successor?
It looks like it's fine. You know, they both say they get along well, and it, you know, Love says Rodgers helps him out in any way that he asks, when he asks for advice, or what did you see here? What are you thinking about there? You know, I think they appear to get along fine. You know, Rodgers' grievance, he gets along well with the coach too, which is important. That's who he's dealing with every day, is the coach, the coaching staff, his teammates. So there's really, just because a player despises, you know, the general manager, the team president, or whoever, that doesn't mean it's going to wreck your season, because he's really not dealing with those people on a daily basis anyway. So
they're not on the field. We have Pete Doherty, sports columnist for the Green Bay Press-Gazette, USA Today Network, Wisconsin. You can join in. Did you go to family night at Lambeau last month? What do you make of the Pack going scoreless against the Bills in the preseason? Is that easy to shake off as we head into the regular season? Still time for you, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Pete Doherty here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Are you planning to attend a game at Lambeau this year? Are you a season ticket holder? What's your favorite part about going to Packers games? What are you watching for this season amid COVID? Join in, 800-642-1234. We have Green Bay Press-Gazette Packers columnist Pete Doherty with us for about 9 more minutes. So, Pete, we have wide receiver Devontae Adams, also one of the team captains who has been chosen there. What do you think about Adams and what he will do with Aaron Rodgers?
Well, he's, you know, his career has kind of been similar to Jordy Nelson's and that. Nelson, I don't remember seeing a player who was like that, where every year he was a little better than the previous year, in, even into his early 30s, and that's how Adams has been too. And he was just, I think on one of those two lists, I think it was the NFL Network, he was player number 6 overall, mm-hmm. the top receiver. So he is, I mean, he's a great player. He's a difference maker, and I would suspect as long as he stays healthy, I mean, we'll be looking at another huge season from him. His connection with Rodgers and their timing, you know, his timing is so important, and their timing on all the different routes and being able to read each other is, you know, it's about as good as it gets right now.
You find the two pretty hungry for it.
The Adams had those comments yesterday and or a couple of days ago, and mm-hmm. yeah, you know, they've been so close. He's been to 4 championship games and never been to a Super Bowl because he wasn't on the 2010 team. So I suspect he is very hungry. And you know, 2 years ago they got to the championship game, got blown out. Last year they had a great chance to win that game and didn't do it. I would bet the hunger level for a guy like him who's accomplished so much individual stuff. You know, I'm sure the desire to get to a Super Bowl and win one, you know, it's got to be really, really high.
Was it a bit of a head scratcher for you in the preseason with that 19-0 loss to the Bills in that last game?
Not really, no. You know, the Packers, I think they sat, you know, 30 plus players all 3 preseason games, you know, it was all their starters and their key guys and anybody who had even a hint of an injury. That was all about player evaluation, getting mm-hmm. Jordan Love playing time. So, and preseason, it counts for nothing. The most important thing with preseason is to come out of it as healthy as you can and to pick the right guys for the, you know, the lower half of your roster. And the Packers came out of it pretty healthy. Whether they picked the right guys or not, you know, we'll find out over the next several months.
How did Love look to you in the preseason?
You know, he looked just like he did in practice. You could see the arm talent and why some teams considered him a first-round pick. He likes to play from the pocket, which you have to be able to do in the NFL. But he was really, really up and down. He'd have these pinpoint great throws. He'd have 2 or 3 in a row, and you really catch your eye. And then, you know, a couple plays later, he would throw a pass, you know, like into traffic over the middle, which is a big no-no in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe just miss a short pass. He was just, he was really up and down. He could see ability, but you could also see he clearly would not have been ready to be a starting quarterback this year. And whether he's good enough or not, you know, you just don't know until they get out there and play a bunch of real games.
We're talking with Pete Doherty, talking Packers. He writes for the Green Bay Press Gazette in USA Today Network, Wisconsin. You can join in. How do you think the Packers will do this season? What are you watching for out of Aaron Rodgers? 800-642-1234 to join in. Pete, we heard from Bob in Chippewa Falls. Bob called in, couldn't stay with us, and says the quarterbacks, they shouldn't be running the front office. Sounds like Bob is in your camp. And Bob says they can offer insight, but if Favre got what he wanted, then we wouldn't have gotten Aaron Rodgers.
That's true. That's very true. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure, for instance, Rodgers would have wanted to keep Jordy Nelson when mm-hmm. the Packers cut him. And Nelson was an outstanding player for this team. But he had run out of steam as he had blown out his knee a couple of years before. He was not the same player. It was time to move on. If you went through all the players he ticked off in that press conference, he ticked off all the names of, you know, the guys who he would have kept. And I think the argument is strong that if not every one of those names, maybe all but one, they made the right decision in moving on. So, I personally agree with Bob. I'm sure there are plenty of people who disagree, but I agree with Bob.
Mason Crosby, kicker, perfect. 16 for 16 on field goal tries last year. Contract has 2 years left. He'll be 38. What is the likelihood that Crosby will retire after his contract?
Well, I'm sure he'll keep going as long as he can. And if he thinks he could still kick and the Packers, you know, think he's done or they want to move on for financial reasons, they've got real cap problems. So I could see him making a change as early as next year.
Hmm.
Then I'm sure You know, as long as he thinks he can kick in the league, he'll try to if somebody will have him. But as far as with the Packers, it's very much year to year at this point, and they have huge cap problems for next year. And it wouldn't be a shocker to see the Packers move on for somebody younger and a lot cheaper next year.
Yeah, along the lines of very much year to year, I was reading the New York Times. They wrote, the Packers and Rodgers are a couple planning to divorce the moment the children move out. A classic rock act pretending to get along until the end of its farewell tour. How do those analogies sit with you?
You know, they're pretty good. I wish I had thought of them. I don't know what the odds are. I mean, obviously right now, if you're placing a bet, it's really strongly in favor that Rodgers will not be back next year. Mm. I don't know, 90-10, because, you know, the reason you'd leave the door open is you never know what will happen over the next 6 months. I've always looked at the NFL as it's like the seasons are like dog years. I mean, so much happens during the season, so much changes. So you never know what might happen between now and February that would convince him to come back. If they win the Super Bowl, would he see that as the perfect way to make his way out of town? Or would he see that as, hey, there's a really good team here. I got along great. You know, things are better. Let's try to win another one or two. It could cut either way. Maybe his decision might be made and there might be no changing his mind, but you never know what could happen in the next 6 months. So I don't know. I'm thinking 90-10, 80-20, somewhere in there that he's gone.
Well, I'm going to leave the door open here in the last couple seconds for your season prediction and how the Packers will fare. What do you think?
Yeah, I had to do that for publication for my boss that they're going to run this weekend. So I went, you know, 17 games this year. So I went 13-4. You know, I have the 49ers going to the Super Bowl, but really the Packers' chances are as good as anybody's. The Packers, the 49ers, the Rams, and obviously the Buccaneers. You know, it's a really great chance. It's one of those four teams. And honestly, the Packers' chances are as good as anybody's. They've got a ton of talent. I watched the Bucs last night. They have a really talented defense, plus Tom Brady.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Packers have probably even more weapons on offense than the Bucs do.
Well, we'll be watching that dog year. Pete, thank you for joining us.
All right. Thanks for having me, Kate.
Pete Doherty, Packers columnist for the Green Bay Press Gazette and USA Today Network, Wisconsin. This is the Ideas Network.